Yeah, and I think that's one thing, and we've talked about this a little bit, that is overlooked, that different musicians have different needs on stage. And how loud is your stage? How much sound are you exposed to? Where are you oriented? Are you right near the drums? That affects what you need as an in-ear product. Are you a singer? Are you a horn player? Are you a guitar player? That affects what you need. And those are important components of a conversation to get your ears right and get what you need so that you can maintain hearing health while doing your job the way you need to and want to. An analogy that we've heard is like, hey, people play pro football. They know they're taking on some risk, but they're okay with that calculation that they're making, that, hey, I'm going to get banged around, but I'm also going to be an NFL player. I'm good with that. And we've heard from musicians, hey, I want that sound. I want to feel it. I want to feel the crowd. I'm okay with the risk that I'm taking on with that. And I think from our perspective is that there could be a better compromise where you're getting what you need, but you're not potentially putting so much of your hearing at risk. So for musicians listening to this or audiologists listening to this, there's a conversation beyond the molds that should be had, that the audiologist needs to know how loud your stage is. They need to know what you do within the band because there are so many different things that can be done with monitors and musician ear protection. And really, monitors aren't ear protection if your mix level is super loud in your ear. So it's also something that needs to be practiced with. You need to, before you go on tour, you got to practice with the monitors, singing with them, playing with them, experiencing a mix with them so that you can actually acclimate your ears to a lower level of sound if you practice. And that's where the protection comes into play. Because if your in-ears are as loud as your wedge would otherwise be, it's not protection. So there's really important conversations that need to be had to get you what you need to do it right.
Absolutely. And we've touched on this before, where from stage to stage and venue to venue,
Yeah.
like, even when you
Insurance
have your
different.
ears in, they're drastic, can be drastically different. And you wouldn't think that, because if you have so much control and you're able to isolate and drown out everything else, that it wouldn't sound that much different. But you also have to, what comes into play is the mics for the drums, for everything that is mic'd. That changes from room to room. You could be off by a little bit of, distance off whatever you're miking, and that can really change things too. So that is also something that, you're trying to navigate with in-ears. I think people think that in-ears are, oh, it's going to solve everything. It's really, it's going to change from room to room. Sometimes for the better. I've had times where I've actually chosen to keep both ears in because it sounded so amazing, whatever the room was, whatever the mix was. And for our band, we have a board that saves the settings, right? So we go into each venue and we're not building it from scratch. We already have like a foundation, a starting point of our mix already. And then from there, it generally is in the right vicinity of where we want it to be. A lot of times there's, a little more this, a little less of that.
Sure, yeah.
For whatever reason, the settings are the same, but I can't hear the snare drum at all. It could be mic'd the same. What's the difference? It's the room.
Does your, depending on the size of the physical size of the stage, will you all have the same distance from each other independent of the stage size? Or if it's a larger physical stage, there'll be more separation?
If it is, so that comes down to like aesthetics, right? So like, you want the stage to look right. I hate it when Chris is like so far away from me, because if I'm playing with one ear out and I don't have a good drum mix in my ears, then I don't feel connected, right? Like Ocean's Calling, for example. These festival gigs are throw and goes, meaning there's no sound check, right? You just have to have a good crew who knows what you like, the way things are supposed to be, and you just go up there and you just cross your fingers.
That must feel so unpredictable.
Oh, it's completely unpredictable. So, for example, the Ocean's Calling just happened. The OAR and friend said getting up there.
That looked wild, by the
I
way.
couldn't hear my. I couldn't. It was fun. I couldn't hear my guitar at all. And not only that, you're playing songs that you have to be locked in on. It's just not like this loosey-goosey thing where you can improvise and whatnot. There's set parts that people are expecting because we're covering like these classic songs, you know? And I couldn't hear anything. And before, I would just kind of have to deal with it and just play along. My monitor guys has 20 other things that he's trying to do. People are asking for this because everyone's having maybe the same problem. But now I've with technology, I'm able to attenuate my amps where I can bring the volume down really low while also getting it to sound like it's cranked. And so you know, the typical rock sound, the way you would get that is you'd have to drive the speaker really hard and the speaker would distort. And that's what creates kind of that rock distortion and overdrive sound. But you would have to rail your amp to get it to get there. So now there's a lot of digital amps where you can actually drop the wattage. And for me to feel my guitar without going deaf, I actually have a small amp that it's, I use as a monitor, as a wedge. So there's a wedge that's can anything else can go in there, but then I have a wedge that's just basically my guitar amp, and it's shooting right up at me, running at 2 watts, even though I could run it at 22 watts if I wanted to.
So it's a way of compensating for what you need.
Yes, and so for Ocean's Calling, I'm able just to bend down and just turn the volume knob up on that amp if I need more for my guitar, instead of relying on my monitor guy to wait in the queue for him to get to me.
And that's not going to have any adverse effect on Paris behind you or anything, because they're doing their own thing.
Yeah, and I have the amp angled, so it's actually shooting up at me at an angle. So not only is it not hitting anybody else, my vocal mic might be picking up a little bit of it, but it's not a unidirectional mic.
Yeah, you have a very narrow scope on your mic, right?
And I have to really get close to it for it to pick up anything. So I don't think my guitar is bleeding into that. And then also from like a audience perspective, the amp is pretty angled and flat, so it's not like it's blocking anything or kind of this intrusive object on stage that's like, you
Yeah,
know,
it's pretty
kind of
small.
sour to look at. So
Now, I also have heard from Eric that you have some kids of your own. How is it for them to watch you do what you do?
I just brought my 10-year-old to Ocean's Calling with me. He's never been to a festival or experienced anything like that. They think it's pretty cool. I love the fact that I'm able to show them a perspective of the performance and putting on a show that you normally wouldn't be able to see. Kind of, I guess, you know, the behind the scenes stuff. You know, I think for them also seeing how much our band depends on the people on the tour, our crew, to put the show on. Like, by far, they, if it wasn't for them, obviously the show wouldn't go on, but they are also the hardest working on tour. They are the first ones up. They build the stage. Their days are very long. They're the last ones on the bus because they gotta, you know, close the show, load the trucks. It is a lot of work. And one thing that my son said to me was like, "Daddy, all the people that work for you are so nice. They're so nice." And I said, "You know what, Dean? They are the hardest working people on the tour. They do way more than the band does. And we have so much gratitude for them that they are so much a part of the team. And we hope they feel that. We try to remind them and let them know all the time how thankful we are for them." So it was really cool for my son to see how hard they were working compared to what we have to do in that hour or 2 hours.
It's nice
Sure.
to instill that in them. We were at the Prudential Center 2 days apart, Sunday and then last night, and the stage was entirely different from one show to the next. And it was remarkable to see that in such a short time, you can completely revamp the stage. There must be so much that goes into it.
There is a lot of logistics, and obviously the more production you have, the crazier it is. Some of these stadium tours, Taylor Swift, U2, there are multiple stages that are going ahead to the next venues because it takes more time to build those stages, right? It takes maybe 3 days to build the stadium Taylor Swift set or whatever it is. So they have multiple stages going to the next ones, building it, and that's it's a lot of work. Yeah.
Sure. So, on a kind of changing pace a little bit, you also teach, you do guitar lessons. And for you, what is teaching for you? What do you get from that experience?
For me, it's when I was learning guitar, taking formal lessons was, I don't know if I necessarily enjoyed it. I had a hard time wrapping my head around certain concepts or, but it wasn't that I just couldn't understand them. I realized that it was the way that they were being taught to me wasn't how I was programmed to learn, right? And what led me to teach was that there is an easier way to learn guitar than, I mean, every teacher is different, but then the standard way of teaching, right? So I'm not knocking that, but I think as a teacher or as a coach, I know you coach too, right? Connecting and getting your student or your player to understand concepts, there's not one way to do it. And if one way that you're trying doesn't work, you have to be able to navigate other ways to find that connection where they have a light bulb that goes off that finally makes sense. I didn't really start diving into the details of playing guitar until like 15 years ago. I mean, that sounds like a long time ago. But considering I've been playing guitar for 30 years, 32 years, starting in seventh grade, it took me that long to like really want to figure out the guitar. I could get by with just what I was doing within the confines of OAR, because we play rock and roll music, right? We memorize everything. I don't need to read any music. We're not charting anything. It's just all by feel. But I realized that there were a lot of holes in my understanding of the guitar. And it wasn't until I really dove in and I started learning things that I tried to learn before, but I just gave up because I was frustrated. I didn't really need it to do my job at the time, but it was hurting my playing. When I could, if I understood some of these things, it would help me be a better player. And once I started unlocking those things, I realized I was like, wow, why don't we just teach it? Like, if you just said this, then I would have totally got that, right? Or just showed it this way,
Sure.
and just kind of simplify things. So I think my frustrations as a guitar player and learning when I was younger, it makes me. It brings me so much joy to see a light bulb go off in someone's head, especially about a concept that I couldn't understand because the way that the person was teaching it to me didn't make any sense. I've had many times where I was trying to teach something where my student didn't understand, and I was like, okay, this is not the way for them to figure this out. I need to find another way. And I just enjoy that process. I enjoy seeing those light bulbs. I enjoy passing the torch.
Probably seeing them improve over time.
And something that stands out to me is if there's something that I'll play that you hear, you'll say, all right, I like that. What else can we do with it? So we were just talking about a little guitar riff, and then talk about layering. What could you do with bass? What could you do with soloing within that? So it's not good enough. It's keep moving with it. What else can you do? Let's keep growing. Let's keep getting better. And I think there, especially for something like guitar, where you can theoretically never stop learning, to just keep going with things is great.
Yeah, I mean, even with like the Ocean's Calling set, like for that OER and Friends set, we had to learn all these covers, right? And really diving into that, like I've unlocked a lot of things that I didn't know that's how they did that. Or I thought this is how they did it. And when I really dove in, they actually played it this way. And that's something that I never thought of. And it's really I think that's something that will carry over into my own playing within the band.
For sure.
Always a student.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any advice for somebody with really tiny hands?
I have small paws, and I've just learned to play things within what I was given, right? So I think some of these really big stretches that for some guitar players, it's just so easy for them. This is just how you do it. I've learned how to work around those things. And at the same time, I've also probably torn some ligaments just really trying
Stretch.
to stretch them out. But
You have any way to go around a bar chord? Let me know.
there's always a way. I mean, you look at the Django Reinhardt, who's like the greatest jazz, one of the greatest jazz players of all time. He only had like three fingers. So, I look at those type of physical setbacks that maybe look like setbacks. There's ways to play to your strengths, you know.
And lastly, the band does a lot of charitable work through the Heard the World Foundation. How do you decide what to support, who to support, and are there causes dear to you that you feel good about being involved with?
Sure. So Heard the World is a fund that we pull from every ticket that we sell. 50 cents from that ticket goes into a jar, and a virtual jar.
Be a big jar.
Yeah, it's literally a piggy bank, right? In general, the fund, what's close to our hearts is music education, kids programs, things that I think would further give people opportunities that normally wouldn't have opportunities. We also have a scholarship fund with Ohio State University, which we all went to. And that's part of the Heard the World Fund goes to that as well, and where we give scholarships to kids who certainly deserve it and need it. I think throughout the year we talk about and meet people and have relationships with people where there's always a need somewhere. And as the year goes on, we sometimes don't commit to something until like much later, or maybe it's early on. We're like, this year we're going to give here, we're going to give there. So it is a collaborative discussion of where we give a chunk of the money. We also have some flexibility where within the band members ourselves, we make a donation personally. I think that's a big part of motivation and inspiration for us to do what we do. We're trying to create and help, something bigger than the band itself.
That's
And
beautiful.
that's one avenue for us.
That's awesome.
That's great. That's good for you. One question I want to leave you with from the audiologists listening out there is how can audiologists better serve, or what is there for them to know for a musician who's out on the road?
Great question. I think from me personally, Some of the things you were talking about, how like just having a in-depth discussion about where do you stand on the stage, what is your stage setup, really get kind of into the details of what happens in your world on stage when you're performing. You know, I think asking questions of, you know, what do you dislike? Like in my case, like I need to feel my amp. I need to hear my amp. So I think if, you know, audiologists that we've seen before to get our molds, ask those questions, opposed to just giving a product and saying, this is the standard,
Yep.
this is what you use, and then don't turn it up too loud, and that's what it is, right? You know, Eric, we were driving about having too many drivers, right?
Yeah.
I've got these in-ears and it's JH Audio. They sound amazing. We just upgraded our in-ears because ours were so old that they don't service them anymore. And so immediately it's just like, I'm going to get the best one, right? What is the most expensive, the best one? Because it's not like you can try them, you know?
Right.
You have to commit to them. And naturally, we just, you know, I got the nicest ones, the latest and greatest. And they do sound great. I am still playing with one ear out because my guitar doesn't sound like my guitar in these little drivers. You know, one thing you suggested was maybe there's too many drivers, right?
Yeah,
Maybe
that
those
it.
drivers will help you hear better. And I think there's something to that also. So the next time I need a refresher on in-ears and the latest and greatest has 1,000 drivers, I might go for 10 next time.
Or fewer than that.
Yeah. I think I have
Awesome.
12 in mind right now. I
Yeah, I
mean,
think that was what you said.
they sound great. But for what I need, I still have to keep one ear out to really feel my guitar. And thankfully, with technology, I can have a low wattage amp and not blow my ears out and still feel my guitar.
Yeah, it's the important thing is having the conversation, treating the patient, not just treating a job and treating a role. And that's an important thing that all clinicians, whatever area they're in, remember it's an individual in front of you, and that's who you have to treat.
100%. Even as a guitar teacher, right? You have to like figure out what is the best path for them.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you so much. We took way more of your time than we
Oh,
expected, but it was a
all
great
good.
conversation.
All good. Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate all the questions.
Thanks so
Thank you so
much.
much.
All right, Richard Ahn from OAR. Thanks so much for being on the Hear Us Out podcast. All
All right. Thanks, y'all. See ya.
right, take care. Have a
Bye.
good one.
You too.
Bye.